This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. This story comes from a book at the Rose Oconee Museum, created and edited in 2016 by Dennis Green. These are some memories of Swift, written by Ray Green, included in that book. Some of the stories were published in the World Pioneer in 1993. Living in Swift, Minnesota during the 30s was not unlike hundreds of rural communities across the country. Most people were busy trying to eke out a living, and children had to do their share. I was the oldest of three brothers and had daily tasks that had to be attended to. We had no indoor plumbing, so water had to be carried in morning and evening. We were fortunate in Swift because we had many flowing wells in our area. For our water, we used the well across the road in the mill yard. The water was cold, clear, and tasted so good that travelers through Swift would stop at the Swift store just to enjoy a drink of that cold water. We carried the water in using pails that held about 3 gallons each. Of course, it didn't last long because it was used for all the household needs. The old wood stove had a reservoir which kept water quite hot, and the tea kettle on top of the stove always had hot water ready. Since we had no plumbing, we also had to carry out the kitchen waste. It sounds gross today, but we called it slop. We carried out the slop pail every day. Some of it was good for feeding pigs. I suppose that's where the term slopping the hogs comes from. One of the real inconveniences of home without plumbing had to be no bathroom. We all had the little house out back, which would come in various shapes and sizes. Most were one-holers and gave us all many opportunities for meditation. We daydreamed too as we looked over pages of the Sears Roebuck catalogs, which were always recycled in the outhouse. Winter and summer each presented their different problems. In summer, flies and the odor were each enough to hurry your visit. In the winter, of course, one can only imagine the agony of that cold wooden bench on the anatomy. We had to have our indoor pots, of course, for winter use. It was just too cold at minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit to go outdoors in the middle of the night when a call came that required quick response. The Sears Roebuck and Montgomery Ward catalogs came twice a year. They were wonderful books for dreaming. We all had our favorite pages. One of mine was the page in the fall catalog which pictured boys' boots. There were so many to look at. My dream was to get a pair of high-top boots with a jackknife pocket sewed into the boot. One year my mother ordered a pair. I was so proud. In those days, most of our clothing was ordered from the catalog. How eagerly we waited for those packages to arrive. One thing we didn't order was mittens and wool socks. My mother would knit pair after pair, enough for all of us. How she found the time to do it all remains a mystery to me today. We burned wood for heat and for cooking. That meant that we must bring in wood daily. In the summer, it required split wood for the cook stove, which was needed each day for cooking and baking. You can imagine how hot it would get in the summer, especially when my mother was baking bread or canning. When fall came, we had to start using the heating stove. That required a lot of wood to feed its hungry appetite. I used to split wood by the hour, and often had to bucket into stove lengths too, using bow sauce or swede sauce. Sometimes we were lucky and could get the wood sawed with a saw rig, but most of the time we just did it ourselves. Carrying in the water, carrying out the waste, and bringing in enough wood for the next day kept most boys busy after school. There was always a little time left to play and hopefully to read a school library book. Our school didn't have many books. Charles Christensen was our county superintendent, and he would bring the books in trunks to each school. We always waited eagerly for his arrival, and each student would get to check out several books, which could be taken home. I loved reading and read every book that I could get my hands on. I still remember many of those marvelous stories which gave a young boy an opportunity to dream about a world that existed only because of the other's ability to write a story. Charles Christensen was a great educator and played an influential role in the rural education of Rose Oconee students. When I was in seventh grade, we thought he was spending a lot of time at our school. When he married our teacher, Clarice Huckabee, later that year, we understood why he came around so often. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our Coney stories.